no good without his touch, are we? My. I have a message that I have worked on throughout the day. Felt like that's where God would have me go. And I may be about to make a mistake. I don't know. All you preachers have been here. But everything's been about Jacob. Sort of got him on my mind and on my heart. Worshipped, leaning on that staff in front of his children and his grandchildren. I think I might just lay that aside and maybe preach a little bit about Jacob, if that'd be all right. And I merely mean continuing the thought. I don't have anything to add to the great sermon we have heard. The insightful comments our moderator has made. Let me begin by saying this, and we'll still focus on Jacob. In the Old Testament, God is building a body. God is building a, here's the word I want to use, God is building a nation that he can use for his glory. The name of that nation is Israel. No doubt God put it together like he wanted her to be. God gave us Israel so God could give us Jesus. I like Israel. I plan to bless them all the days of my life. Far as I'm concerned, God did a good job building Israel. Now, in the New Testament, God is not building a nation. He's already got him a nation. Not through with it yet either. God is building a body. God is building a body of believers. Can I get an amen? God is building his church. Peter got it right. Thou art the Christ, the Son of the living God. Upon this rock, this testimony, I will build my church. What if I told you, I think, you all will agree, same architect that built Israel is the same architect building the church. I want to suggest to you that the same way God built that nation is the same way God is building his church, his people. Reckon that could be. And in order to look at how God builds the nation of Israel, I have to mention Jacob. Because it is the 12 sons of Jacob who were the building blocks to the nation of Israel. So quickly, I'd like to mention those 12 sons of Jacob. Say just a little bit about them. And then try to show you how God is building his church. Just like he built that nation. Do you all see my plan? 12 sons. I shall cover them quickly. I'm going to suggest to you the first four. We're going to concentrate on the names of the sons of Jacob. In the Bible, does anybody agree names are important? God even changes names sometimes to fit a character. We're going to look at the names and the meanings of the 12 sons of Israel. I'm so excited, I can't hardly get it out. The first four boys, I think, are going to tell us the story of how we got saved. I believe the name of the next four boys are going to tell us how to live once we are saved. And I believe the name of the last four boys are going to tell us what to look for when we get on the other side. If that's anywhere near right, if I'm within 10 miles of a correct hermeneutic here, I may shout before the night's over. God who built Israel is the God who is building the church, and he used the same principles in both cases. Y'all ready to get started? Genesis chapter 29. Genesis chapter number 29. Let me find it in my Bible. I sort of wish I'd brought my big Bible with me tonight. I wasn't planning on doing this. 29 verse 32. Y'all got it? And Leah conceived, that's the wife of Jacob. And Leah conceived and bare a son. And she called his name, I want y'all to help me. What did she name that little boy? Reuben. For she said, surely the Lord hath looked upon my affliction. Now therefore, my husband will love me. Firstborn son is named Reuben. And Brother Bagwell, you said that you thought these first four boys might indicate how we got saved. Let me define the name Reuben. That little B-E-N, Ben, in Hebrew, Ben means son. S-O-N, son. Reuben, this is what it means. Watch my finger. Behold a son. I'm sure the midwife during the delivery process said, Miss Leah, behold a son. That's what his name means. Behold the Son. Can I preach that for about 90 seconds real quick? The first thing that happened to you when you got saved, some Holy Ghost-filled preacher, some godly Sunday school teacher, some wonderful Bible school faculty man pointed his or her finger and said, let me tell you about Jesus. And they pointed and said, behold, the darling Son of God. Isn't that what John the Baptist said? Behold, the Lamb of God that taketh away the sin of the world. Announcement, you can't get saved apart from the Son of God. Behold, the Son. Anybody here glad somebody pointed you to Jesus one day? Behold the Son. Let's see if there's another boy. It's down in chapter 29, verse 33. Y'all help me when I call for it. Leah conceived again and bare a son and said, because the Lord hath heard that I was hated, he hath therefore given me this son also. And she called his name, tell it to me, what? Simeon. Second boy is Simeon. What in the world does Simeon mean? It is a Hebrew, it's a verbal root behind it, and it means hearing with the ear. Hearing with the ear. I want to go out on a theological limb here and say it don't matter how often somebody says, behold the Son. It don't matter how many verses of Scripture you read. It doesn't matter how many sermons you hear until the Holy Ghost does something in your heart and in your life and opens your ear and causes you to hear the truth of the old-time gospel. Praise God. Y'all see it, don't you? Behold the Son. And I'm talking about the Son of God. And I looked and I liked what I saw. And he was absolutely altogether lovely. And then I heard and I believed. The Holy Ghost gave me saving faith. Hallelujah. Y'all all right? Next verse 34. And she conceived again and bare a son and said, now this time will my husband be joined unto me because I bore him three sons. Therefore, his name was, tell me, his name was what?
Levi.
Little Levi. My, my, my. Wonder what Levi means. And I need to give you a little clue. Probably ruin the rest of my sermon. But in our King James Bible, there's a little hint in every verse what the name means. Now will my husband be joined unto me? And she called his name Levi. Watch. This is what Levi means. Two things. They were separated. They were apart. They were far apart. And somehow, some way, they have now, get me an amen ready, they have now been joined together as one. Are y'all getting that? Somebody said, there he is, it's Jesus. Behold the Son of God. I by grace through faith, Holy Ghost opened my ear. I believed, and the moment I believed, God took an old hellbound, good for nothing, low down, filthy sinner, and joined me to the body of the Lord Jesus Christ. Hallelujah. I don't belong to no country club. I don't belong to no civic. But buddy, I got joined in to the biggest thing in the world one day. I got put in to the body of the Lord Jesus Christ. Anybody else in tonight? We're no longer alienated, are we? Bone of his bone, flesh of his flesh. That's a pretty good description of how you get saved right there. Behold the Son. God opened my ear. I heard and believed. And God put me in. God joined me up. But Brother Bagwell, you said the first four. Tell me the story of how I got saved. And you've only talked about three. That means there's one more coming. Let's look at it. I laid my Bible over here on the piano. It's verse 35. And she conceived again. This is still Leah. And she conceived again, bare a son. And she said, now will I praise the Lord. Therefore she called his name. Tell me, she called his name
Judah.
And left bearing temporarily. Left Mary, Judah. You got to figure out what Judah means. In Hebrew, Yada, Y-A-D-A-H, when it assimilates into English, the Y becomes a J. What does it mean? Get ready. It means praise. I don't know if y'all are getting it or not. It means praise. preacher, that, well, that ain't got nothing to do with me getting saved. My soul, wash your mouth out. Somebody points Jesus out to you. Holy Ghost opens your ear and you hear and you believe. God joins you into the family. There ain't nothing left to do. There ain't nothing left to do but praise Him, glorify Him, magnify Him. Hallelujah to His good name. Glory, glory, glory. Brother Steve, you know it. You, Brother Ruth, but I thought my time was up. Preacher, he's coming to get
me. Thank you.
I just thought that's a 12-point sermon. Man, that's over with. Let me tell you something about Yada, praise. It contains a little Hebrew noun, Y-A-D, Yad. Ends up being Yada, which means praise. I got to tell you what Yad means, hand. Y-A-D is the Hebrew, Brother Randy, it's the Hebrew noun for hand. Y'all going to have to help me think. Can you see any correlation between God using our word for hand and it end up being the word for praise? Anybody got that figured out yet? Anybody glad you're going to glory when you die? Anybody glad you saw the sun one day? Anybody glad the Holy Ghost opened your ear one night? Anybody glad you've been joined in? Hallelujah. Then we ought to all praise Him. And you are praising Him. Hallelujah. That's how I got saved. Amen. And I don't mind telling you, I love the way you're encouraging me and smiling at me and sort of egging me on. But it'll get quieter now for the next four boys. And here's why. They're going to tell us how to live the Christian life. Need an amen. Getting saved is exciting business. Ain't never got over it myself. Living for Jesus can be another matter. Giving all diligence, Peter says. Study means do your best to be approved unto God. That's the way Paul ran. Let's get to this fifth son. How to live the Christian life. Chapter 30, we got to go to chapter 30. We finish chapter 29, verse 6. This child is born by Rachel's handmaid. And Rachel said, God hath judged me. He hath also heard my voice. He hath given me a son. Therefore, called she his name. Tell me, y'all, what's his name? More of you, a little more loudly. This is little Dan. Brother Bagwell, what does Dan mean? And again, did I make an announcement? The best commentary on the Bible just might be the Bible. My verse interprets what Dan means. You will see the word judged in the verse. Dan means judged. See how quiet we are? Brother Bagwell, your theory just fell to pieces. Behold the Son. Open my ear. Join me up. Praise the Lord. And Brother Bagwell, you didn't read that verse. There is therefore now no condemnation to them who are in Christ. Whoa, whoa, whoa. Judged. Paul wrote it. Y'all are pretty sharp Bible students here. Paul wrote it. If we would judge ourselves, we would not be judged. First lesson to learn in our Christian life is to judge ourselves. You know who gives me more trouble in the ministry? You know who gives me more trouble in my personal life? It ain't some church member somewhere. It's not some disgruntled pastor. It's this old boy right here. I am my biggest problem. What does it mean to judge yourself as a believer in Christ? And for the sake of brevity, I'm going to quote one verse, 1 John 1:9. If we confess our sins, He is faithful and just to forgive us our sin. Can I get an amen? And cleanse us from all unrighteousness. First key to the Christian life. When the man of God preaches, when they give that invitation, if the Holy Ghost nudges me, make my way to an old-fashioned altar. Get down on my knees, get it clean, get it clear, get it confessed before an almighty. We got to learn to judge ourselves. I heard an evangelist say long ago, he's in heaven, been in heaven a while now. He said, keep, listen to this, short sin accounts with God. Don't let them sins mount up. Don't let that list get long. We can confess it. He'll forgive it. Oh, my. Oh, my. I'd like to be, if I had to pray in a moment's notice, in an instant, I wouldn't have to spend 10 minutes confessing, 10 minutes getting right. I'd like to be. Judge ourselves. Let me get back up here and we'll look at the next one. Soon as I can. I don't know why I can't stay up here. I'm drifting down that way tonight. Verse 8. Rachel said, with great wrestlings, hint, hint, have I wrestled with my sister, and I have prevailed. Here comes a little boy. And she called his name, let me give you this one, Naphtali. Now let's all say it together. Naphtali. Say it again. Naphtali. What in the world? That's a Jewish name, favor, single. What does it mean? Yeah. It means to wrestle. I wish somebody'd smile. I had a fellow tell me, he said, you can't preach about wrestling in the pulpit. I had a man and he got adamant. He said, you'll never find wrestling in the Word of God. He'd never heard about Jacob, had he? Seemed like Paul broached the subject. For we wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against wrestling is a Bible principle, y'all. We're in a wrestling match with the devil. I'm not at war with you. We're not fighting one another. That's not what this thing is about. We're at war with the enemy. We're at war with the world. We're at war. We're at war with the devil, folks. Got to learn to wrestle. Brother Ron, I don't know much about wrestling. I don't know I've ever watched the whole bout or whatever it's called. I know there's a ring and there's a mat, and I know the idea is to throw your opponent down, I think, till they count to three, or is it ten? Three. That's it. And you lost if you hear number three. I'm talking about wrestling. A lot of us, hear me, a lot of us need to learn how to wrestle a little better in our Christian life. Any of y'all ever wrestled the devil? He's a roaring lion. Preacher, I hate to admit it with you here, but your devil's grabbed me before, thrown me down, stomped me. Folks, I'm telling you, I've heard one. I've heard two. I've heard two and a half. I might even heard two and three quarters a time or two. That time the devil had me at my lowest. It was just about over. This thought crossed my mind. Have you ever heard of a tag team? I don't know a whole lot about it, but I have heard of that. And about the time the devil had whooped me, it dawned on me there's another member of this team. I'm on the little end of something mighty big. And I reached out and I touched my Savior. And in that ring he jumped. And I mean, the dust flew and the devil had to run. The devil had to leave. Thank God, thank God, thank God, we're on a tag team tonight. My. I didn't mean to throw that sawdust with y'all running. I didn't know that was going to take off. I want to learn to wrestle in the power of the Holy Ghost of God. I want to learn to wrestle with the touch of God, oh my. Got to learn to confess our sins, and judge ourselves, and we got to learn to wrestle for the glory of God. Verse 11, chapter 30, verse 11. I don't know how, but I come up here without my timer. And I'm going to have to depend on y'all. And I will do so. Verse 11. Y'all got it? 30. And Leah said, this baby's being born by Leah's handmaid. And Leah said, a troop cometh. And she called his name, y'all know, what? Gad. G-A-D, Gad. What in the world does Gad mean? The hints in the verse. I want to say this properly. I think Gad is a big baby. A big baby boy. Can you imagine the labor pain in that day before anesthesia? Big baby. And Leah's handmaid says, you ain't telling me nothing. I know it's a big baby. It feels like a troop. It feels like a little giant is being born. And she named him Gad. And what does Gad mean? Exactly what it says. A troop. Once you get saved and start living for God, we got to learn to confess our sins regularly. We got to learn to wrestle with the devil, and that can only be done through our Lord Jesus Christ. And then we got to learn, I hope I get it, amen, we got to learn we've joined the army. I am part of the troops. Onward, Christian soldiers, marching as to war. Hey! They talk about the church militant. There's a battle to be waged. There's an enemy to be fought. Thank God. Thank God. But wait a minute. Troops move in harmony, in unison. One lone soldier over there with a gun, he's called a sniper. He's not part of the troop movement. Troop means you got in a crowd. Believes like you believe. Going where you're going. Holding the same values that you're holding. I don't know if y'all are with me or not. It means when you get saved, you join in with the crowd. You join in with the church. You join in with the body of believers. That's going where you're going. Living like you're living. Believing like you believe. Troop. Troop. Glory to God. Made up my mind. I want to leave here believing what I believe when God called me and when I started. Are you part of a troop? Are you in a Bible-believing, Bible-preaching church? Listen to, just because somebody comes to camp meeting don't mean they go to church real good. Get in a church, stay in that church, and grow in that church. To live the Christian life, I have to learn to judge and confess my sins. Wrestle with the devil with the power of the Lord Jesus. Get in a troop movement. Join a church of like mind. But wait a minute. Isn't that just three in that group? There must be another one. Let's look real quickly. I'll have to find it. Verse 13. Genesis 30:13. And Leah said, happy am I, for the daughters will call me blessed. And she called his little name, y'all tell me, she called his name what? This is little Asher. That's the name of my youngest grandson. They made the mistake of asking Papa, what's a good name, you think? Got my vote in. And what does Asher mean? Yes, happy, and the word is also blessed. Happy. Or bless. Somebody's already said it today. Every Christian ain't a happy Christian, folks. We ought to be, but we ain't. How to live the Christian life. Keep your sin account short. Judge yourself. Oh, boy. Learn to wrestle with the devil, knowing you're on a team that can overcome him. Get in the right kind of troop movement. And you know what? If your sins are confessed, if you're winning over the devil, and if you're in the right kind of church, there ain't nothing you can be get me in. There ain't nothing you can be but happy. Yeah. Nothing you can claim but B-L-E-S-S-E-D. You're blessed. Is anybody in here blessed tonight? Anybody in here happy in Jesus tonight? Glory to his name. How I got saved. How to live after I am saved. Four more to go, real quick. What to expect on the other side. Announcement, this ain't all there is to it down here. There's a better day coming, y'all. Let's look. Chapter number 30, verse number 18. Verse number 18. I will need your help. If you don't know how to say it, take a stab at it. Leah said, God hath given me my hire because I've given my maiden to my husband. And she called his name, this little baby, she called his name, tell me. Issachar. Little Issachar. What a name. Not a common name. I don't know any Issachars myself. Little Issachar. And what does it mean? This one may be hard to describe. Did you see the little word H-I-R-E in the verse? Hire? What in the world does that mean? Reward. Reward. Oh, boy. What if I told you after he comes to get us, we're going to go to a place called the judgment seat of Christ. And if we've been faithful in the deeds of our body, will I get an amen? We will be rewarded for that faith. I'm not preaching salvation by works. That's a gift. That's grace. But faithfulness will be rewarded by our Savior. Somebody said the other day, I said, live this day with that day in mind. Live this day with that day, the day of the judgment seat of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Somebody will get upset with me and I'm going to love them. I do not believe we will be judged for sins at the judgment seat of Christ. But Brother Bagwell, what about them sins? Our sins were judged on Calvary. Was anybody going to agree with me? Past sense, present sense, and future sense. Otherwise, he'd have to come back and die again. We will not be judged for our sins. We will be judged for our service, for our faithfulness to the Lord. Can't preach it. Not going to take the time. Paul and James and Peter mentioned five crowns. Crown of glory, incorruptible crown, crown of righteousness, crown of rejoicing, and the crown of life. Five crowns. They can be earned if I'm faithful. Oh, I want to be faithful in my preaching. I want to be faithful in my living. God will reward our faithfulness. Live this day for that day. Issachar means rewards. Y'all want to go a little further? I believe we should. Oh, yeah. I think it's verse 20. And Leah said, God hath endued me with a good dowry. Now will my husband dwell with me because I bore him six sons. And she called this little boy, give me the name. What's his name? She called him little Zebulun. Preacher, what does Zebulun mean? If you look in the verse, there's a hint. It means dwelling place. Dwelling place. That's what Zebulun means. I just believe the Holy Ghost has arranged this. A dwelling place. I'm going to quote a verse. Nod at least if you're with me. Jesus said it. In my Father's house. In my Father's house are many mansions. One of the different versions than our King James Bible. Let me just go on record. I'm a King James man myself. It changes that word dwelling place to rooms. In my Father's house are many rooms. I take umbrage at that. Dwelling place. Preacher, you shouldn't be so upset. In God's house are many rooms. You ought to be satisfied. I'll just settle for that word mansions, please. I'm an evangelist. Debbie and I are in 51 meetings a year. And I spend a lot of time in motel rooms. And don't you tell me I'm going to die and go to heaven. And God's going to say, Brother Bagwell, you're on the third floor, room 312. No, sir. No, sir. I'll not have it. I don't believe it. I believe there's going to be a dwelling place over there. I believe there's going to be a mansion over there. I'm not sure. I'm not sure I can define mansion like it ought to be, but I guarantee you it'll be roomier than a motel room. Anybody believe he's got us a dwelling place? My, my, my. There'll be rewards, and there'll be a dwelling place. Let's get the next to the last one. We'll be concluded with our text, verse 24, is it? Verse 24, somebody help me. Chapter 30, verse 24. And she called his name. This is Rachel now. First child Rachel's born. She called his little name. Tell me if y'all are with me. A few more of you. And said, the Lord hath added to me another son, Joseph. Now all we got to do is figure out what Joseph means. I'm pretty sure it's going to have something to do with over there, heaven and glory. Every preacher in the house knows that Joseph means adding. God has added. Adding and adding and adding. Adding and adding and adding. Wouldn't it be something to be able to come this week to any godly Holy Ghost folk, and next week? Would anybody be interested in the third week if you could get it? They ain't coming week three. I'll tell you. You must be real tired. Put me in, adding and adding and adding. And we'll get all this we can handle. Glory to God. Adding and adding and adding and adding some more. I guarantee you, everywhere we preach it, so there are two kinds of people in the service. I'm not talking about saved and lost, that too, but there are those who are checking their watches. Have you ever seen it when you preached? And I can handle checking your watches, but I saw a fellow one, he checked it two or three times. Then he went this way. That bothered me. And I understand some of that. Backs hurt. Alarm clocks go off early. Some people do need to go. We need to be respectful of that. But there's another crowd here. You're the kind of crowd that if I was to quit right now, you'd flog me. You'd say, you're going to give me number 11, buddy. And you ain't leaving without number 12. Something in you wants more and more and more and more. Can I make an announcement tonight? We're going to a city. We can get more and more and more and more and more. Ain't it going to be wonderful over there? The fella come to me some time back. This is what he said. He said, Brother Bagwell, you better get all the preaching done you can, because there ain't going to be no preaching in heaven. I don't know where he got his verse, but ain't going to be no preaching in heaven. And if the only purpose for preaching is getting sinners saved, ain't going to be no preaching in heaven. That's done. Saved or with the Lord, and the unsaved are in eternal damnation. But I think there could be other purposes for preaching the Word of God. So I'm just going to go ahead and announce to Taylorsville, if there ain't no preaching in heaven when I get there, I'm going to start some. I fully intend to start some. I'll go ahead and invite you. After about 10,000 years magnifying our Lord and loving on Him, meet me down at the river of life. We'll dangle our feet in that thing, and don't misunderstand me. I didn't say I was doing the preaching. I've done given some thought. I'm going to ask Jesus to drop by and say a word to us. I've wanted to hear, Paul's my hero. I've wanted to hear Paul. I've invited Paul to preach a Bible conference for us. I want to hear Isaiah. I want to hear Jeremiah. I'd like to hear Pharisees. Hey, and we can get more and more and more and more. Hallelujah. Heaven's a place of eternal more and more and more. Last point of our message. You got to go to chapter 35. Would you turn over to chapter 35? Some of y'all are sweating, and I have no doubt there are headaches in the building. I am having a delightful time. I am enjoying. God built that nation that way. God's building His body that way. And all I know how to say is hallelujah. Hallelujah to the Lamb. Chapter 35. It's verse number. It's Rachel again. Verse 18. It came to pass as her soul was departing, for she died. This is where Rachel dies. She gave birth to a little boy. Look, she called his name Ben-Oni. Ben-Oni. Now we know Ben. Reuben, behold a son. Ben-Oni. Ben-Oni means son of my sorrow. Can't you understand that? She's dying. Son of my sorrow. Her heart is breaking. Won't get to raise the little boy. But Daddy was nearby. And Daddy said, uh-uh. This little old boy's not going to go through his whole life being son of my sorrow. I think I'll just name him little Benjamin. Well, what in the world does Benjamin mean? I'll tell you real quick. The son of my right hand. The son of my right hand. Oh, boy. Would you hold that just a minute? Could I talk about the great Ben, the great son? Could I talk about the Son of God a minute? Yeah, but preacher, you can't call him the son of my sorrow. Oh, yes, I can. Isaiah said he's a man of sorrows. He bore our sorrows. He bore our griefs. He bore our sins. On the old rugged cross of Calvary, he is the son of sorrow. But glory to God, have y'all heard? They killed him. They crucified him. They buried him. But they couldn't keep him dead. They couldn't keep him dead. Up, up, up. From the grave he arose. Hallelujah to God. Y'all believe that? He got up from the grave. Glory to his name. Wherefore God hath highly exalted him, given him a name that's above every name. Let me tell you what his name is now. He's the son of the right hand of God, sitting on God's right hand. Alpha, Omega, the beginning and the end. Glory to God. He's our Benjamin angel. When we get to glory, oh my, rewards at the judgment seat, a dwelling place. More and more of the good things of God. And I'm sure as we're enjoying all that, we'll be strolling down the street of gold. Somebody will tap you on the shoulder and say, all these blessings. How did we get here? How did all this happen? And somebody's going to point to the throne. Going to say he started out as a man of sorrows. But he ain't the man of sorrows anymore. He's the darling son of God. He's how we got here. He's why we are here. His blood washed away our sins. Hallelujah to his name. How we got saved. How to live for him once we are saved. And what to expect on the other side. Oh, I'm about to forget. Does anybody remember the first child that was born? Reuben. And the last child, Benjamin. Listen to me. This thing starts with Jesus. Behold the Son. And this thing ends with Jesus. The Son of the right hand. Anybody believe he's the beginning and the end? The Alpha and the Omega. Oh, I love them sons of Jacob. I sure am glad they named them like they did. Tells me how I got saved, how to live right, what I'm looking for over there, the way he be. Let's live up. I'm not giving invitation. That's a let's live up to those names in our lives to be examples and bring glory to our dear Lord and our Savior.